Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Grace and peace, grace and peace.
Grace and peace, grace and peace.
Shalom, shalom.
Fellowship, fellowship.
Shalom, shalom, family, shalom.
Shalom. Grace and peace. Amen. Amen. Fellowship of the Spirit in the house. Well, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight is our Sunday night edition of the Fellowship of the Spirit with our brother Paul Mazulewski of the Fellowship of the Spirit Bible Study Class. And the reader form is Brother Jim, and tonight's precept is resisting temptation. You can't get enough of this. You can never get enough of this kind of message. Resisting temptation. That's on every level. Matthew chapter 6 and 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. So, without further ado, we turn this precept over to our brother Paul in the Fellowship of the Spirit. Grace and peace, Israelite.
Grace and peace, dear brother. Grace and peace. Hello, everyone, sisters and brothers. Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Shalom, Paul.
I hope everyone's feeling good tonight. Before we get too far into this precept tonight, why don't we go ahead and open up before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Great God of Israel, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for this day, Lord, and for this night. Father God, as always, we come before you and we have two petitions. One, that you keep your everlasting hedge about us and all saints. And Father God, that you open our eyes and open our ears and give us the understanding that we seek, the wisdom and the knowledge that we desire. Father God, we ask that you give us increase as you see fit. We ask all this in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, tonight's precept, quite simply, resisting temptation. Those of you that know me, I stick to daily walk as much as I can in my lessons. Yeah, I'll bring a little bit of prophecy and some end times, but you know what? This daily walk is what is going to get us to a point one day where we understand all things, because this daily walk is what gives us our right back to the tree of life. And that's what the Lord had, our Heavenly Father had it all set up through our Lord, our Messiah, Christ Jesus, to give us that right back to the tree of life. Because we were created to live with our Messiah and our Heavenly Father. We were created to fellowship with them, to be a part of the God family. But this wicked heart that we have as human beings, we fell short. We're paying the price today. But at the same time, we're given a way to make it back to the tree of life. Just like we're given a way to endure each and every temptation. Just that some temptations seem a little bit harder to endure than others. But they're all the same. And we're just going to deal tonight briefly, not as many scriptures as usual, we're just going to deal briefly with resisting temptation. And we're going to start this off in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew 6. And my brother Jeremiah, if you don't mind, will you start us off and read verse 13? Matthew 6 and 13, brother, whenever you're ready to start this lesson, go ahead.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. This is what the Lord taught us when he taught us how to pray. And we refer to this as the Lord's Prayer. And he said, lead us not into temptation. This is what we're praying when we're praying to our Heavenly Father, part of what we're praying for. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we know we can't be tempted of God. And this temptation has a bigger meaning. This temptation here, there's an hour of temptation and all that. We're not going to get into all them precepts tonight. What we're going to do now is we're going to skip down to Matthew, the 26th chapter. So the Lord, in teaching us how to pray, told us to pray to be kept away from temptation. Matthew 26 and one verse, brother, 26 and verse 41. We've got some specific instructions from our Messiah, that prophet like unto Moses, that we're responsible to listen to. We've got some explicit instructions on how to stay away from temptation. Matthew 26, one verse, brother, 41. Go ahead.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.
And the spirit is always willing, but this flesh is weak. That's why we have to constantly be sober and vigilant, leading and guarding our heart, filling it with the Spirit of God. And the Lord said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He's telling us to take on part of that whole armor that he had Paul write about in Ephesians. Watch and pray, praying always with all prayer and supplications for this in the Spirit for the saints. And the Lord said here, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, because the Spirit is indeed willing, but we know this flesh is weak. Let's go to Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark 14. Brother, we're going to read one verse here. Mark 14. And verse 38, go ahead.
Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but that flesh is weak. And that flesh has always been weak. Let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to read one verse. Luke 22. Brother, one verse. When you get there, verse 46, 22 and 46. Go ahead.
And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So now the Lord added unto here, why sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And we know that the Lord always gives us a physical to explain a spiritual. He's saying, don't be spiritually sleeping here. You better be on your game. You better be sober, and you better be vigilant, and you better be watching, and you better be praying if you expect to resist temptation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's see who's tempted. Because sometimes, sisters and brothers, I look at some brothers and sisters, and man, they're just always everything, nothing, everything's rolling off their back, nothing's bothering them, they're forgiving everybody, they're happy, they're smiling. Man, these brothers never seem to be afflicted. Some of these sisters, man, every time you see them or talk with them, it's nothing but happy-go-lucky. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They never seem to be tempted. Sometimes I think I'm the only one that the Lord's chastising. 1 Corinthians 10, let's see if this is true. Is it only just poor old brother Paul getting tempted all the time? 1 Corinthians 10, and pick it up at verse 12, brother, 10 and 12. Go ahead.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
If you think you stand, you better take heed. Go ahead, brother.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man.
So all the temptations that I have to endure, they're all common to man, sisters and brothers. My temptation might be something that's easy for me to deal with. And that same temptation might be hard for another brother or another sister. But what might be easy to that other brother or sister might be hard for me. But one thing's for sure, if you're part of the man family, and if you're listening to me right now, you're part of the man family, whether you're male man or female man, you are getting tempted, and you're going to have to endure these temptations. You're going to have to resist these temptations because there is no temptation that is not common to man. Go ahead, brother.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
But the Lord, and this is a hard thing to remember. This is just as hard to remember sometimes as remembering that we don't battle flesh and blood, but it's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not the person doing the act that we're actually at odds with. It's that spiritual wickedness. Because when you're serving God, you live in the spiritual realm. And it's just as hard to remember this, though. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to endure. Sometimes it sure don't seem like that, though, does it? Man, sometimes it seems like I'm sitting on the beach and here comes the tsunami with the temptation. Go ahead and continue, brother.
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape? You're able to bear it.
And if you truly are trying to endure these temptations, the Lord's going to make a way for you to escape it. Might not be this particular time you're dealing with it. Might not be the next time you're dealing with that particular temptation. But if you are trying to resist these temptations, sisters and brothers, each time that temptation is on you, you're going to be able to endure a little bit longer until finally you find that way that the Lord has given you to escape it, and that you might be able to bear it. Because rest assured, if you're being tempted, the Lord has provided a way for you to escape it. When you succumb to a temptation, you just haven't found that way yet. Be sober, be diligent, watch and pray. Watch and pray. The Lord gave us that commandment. Let's see how we're tempted. Let's go to Psalm, the 95th chapter. Psalm, the 95th chapter. Of course, we know we're tempted by our own lust, and we'll probably read that later. I don't remember if I kept that in or not. Psalm 95. Brother, pick it up at verse 6. 95 and 6. Go ahead.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Uh-huh.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
And today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Sisters and brothers, if you are truly trying to serve this great God of Israel, this mighty God, this great and terrible God, you hear his voice all the time. Every time you turn around, you're thinking, is that pleasing to my Creator? Is that pleasing to my Heavenly Father? Because if it's not, I got to refrain from doing it. I got to resist that temptation. And sisters and brothers, some temptations, well, let's just go ahead and continue reading. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work.
When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. We proved God? Absolutely. The Lord said, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to punish you. And we proved him to see if what he was talking about was absolutely true or not. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and through. We tempted God back in the wilderness? I say we because you're on the man team, if you're flesh and blood human. You're on the man team, and you win together and you lose together. We tempted the Creator, our Messiah, in the wilderness. And we proved him, and our fathers saw his work. I say our fathers, because I might have had an old Polish dude back there in the wilderness, too, that came out of Egypt. I don't know. Could have been one of my fathers, because there were strangers with Israel. Chances are they were probably all dark or all Hamites, but you never know. Could have been a Greek in there. Somehow that Polish guy could have snuck in there. We don't know. The Lord confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 10.
Yes, sir.
40 years long was I grieved with this generation.
40 years? 40 years long, it says, our Messiah was grieved with this generation. Or tempted to destroy them. He even told Moses. He said, you know what, stand back. I'm going to kill them all and make a greater nation out of you. 40 years long that we tempted our God. Go ahead, brother.
And said, it is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
But they did know his ways. They just erred in their heart. They didn't obey that voice when they heard it. Go ahead, brother.
Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
And they didn't. None of them made it into the promised land. But that, again, was the physical, talking about the spiritual. If you're not obedient, you're not going to make that first resurrection. And chances are, if you're not obedient, more than likely, you're going to miss the kingdom altogether, at least the right side of the kingdom. So, sisters and brothers, we are tempted by disobedience. That's how we're tempted. And the temptation of that disobedience that tempts us, that's stuff we used to take pleasure in. That's stuff we used to take absolute pleasure in. But you know what? It's not always adultery and fornication and porn and Christmas trees and Easter eggs and all that junk. Disobedience could be, you know what used to feel good? Getting angry with somebody, railing all over somebody. I remember when I was young in the Word, to beat somebody down with this book used to make me feel good. But that's straight disobedience. The Lord called me to talk about the hope that's in me with meekness and humility. It used to feel good to get angry sometimes. I could hold a grudge for days, and it felt good, especially when you got somebody egging you on. Yeah, that's right, brother. Go ahead, man. Tell him another thing or two. Man, you sure put that dude in his place, man. Man, you told that sister. Man, them Sunday Christians, this, that, or the other, or whatever foul wickedness was in our hearts at the time we were dealing with somebody. But only, not only that, think back when we were back in the world. You can get away with lying and make it to your advantage. Man, it felt good. Why stop lying when I'm getting ahead? How many people can I step on to climb to the top of this job and get the bigger raise, the better job, the easier job, the better car? Whatever the case might be. To get that gain illicitly was disobedience to that voice. And we're tempted by some of those same things today. That old man, what used to make up our character before we went in the water and died with Christ and came back up, that new man, and we're quickened, we're made alive by our Heavenly Father. And everybody had their own walk, their own conversation back in the day, that old man or woman. Those are the temptations that come back up to haunt us. Because obviously we didn't live that life of wickedness, what the Lord called wickedness, lawlessness. We didn't live that way unless we got good at it and it felt good to us and we were content in those ways. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians 10. If I start talking too long, I'm going to blow the mission on this hour. 1 Corinthians 10, and brother, let's pick it up in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1, go ahead.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea.
All were under a cloud and passed through the sea. Go ahead, brother.
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Uh-huh.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness.
God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why would they be overthrown in the wilderness, brother? Temptation. They succumbed to the temptation. They didn't resist it like they needed to. You can go back and read that in Numbers 14. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, in the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted.
They succumbed to that temptation of lusting after the things they did. You can go back and read about that in Numbers 11. Go ahead, brother.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Again, they succumbed to that temptation. Go back and look at Exodus 32. Go ahead, brother.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3 and 20,000.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. They succumbed to that temptation. Go back and look at that in Numbers 25. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed in serpents.
And they tempted Christ because they didn't resist that temptation. They weren't obedient to his voice, and they were destroyed of the serpents. You can go back to Numbers 21 and look at that. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Uh-huh.
Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
And you can go look where they were destroyed of the destroyer in Numbers 14. But these all happened unto them for our examples. For our examples. They were tempted by disobedience, sisters and brothers. Tempted by disobedience. How can we resist the temptation of disobedience? Now we can learn to strive to be content in our situation. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. This is one way we can do it. We could strive to be content, sisters and brothers, because when you're content, there's no longing or lusting for anything. And as human beings, we can long and lust after the list is endless. We can have 20 shirts and see another nice shirt. We got to have it. We got 20 shirts, 6 of them we never wear. 3 of them still got the tags on them. They still got the creases in them, and they got the cardboard in the neck or whatever. And we're looking at another shirt. We're not content with what we have. We do the same thing. We could be looking at the cabinets going, man, the cabinets are barren. We ain't got nothing to eat. We need to go shopping. But when you break it down and start looking around the house, you got enough for 4 or 5 meals. We need to strive to be content. 1 Timothy 6, and pick it up in verse 6, brother. 6 and 6, go ahead.
Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, that means to be Christ-like. Go ahead, brother.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out.
Well, we got to have the biggest house with the best toys, with the 3-car garage and all the storage sheds, because we got all this stuff we got to lock up. Half the stuff you never even use anymore. I'll tell you what, this is, brothers. I just moved a couple years ago from up near Chicago to Southern Illinois. And when I started packing and started going through closets and the corners of the garage and everything else, there was stuff that I had from the day I moved in that house that there was a box I had wasn't even unpacked. What do I need this stuff for? I forgot I had it. Don't you know, though, as soon as I throw it away, I need what was in the box. But I didn't even know I had the box. I got all this stuff, all this junk. I'm constantly running out. Back in the day, the old man, they called it keeping up with the Joneses. He got a new car. I got to get the new car. He got the big job. I need a promotion. Where's the contentment with godliness? Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content.
Having food and clothing, let us be there with content. Why do we go to work? We go to work to put food on our table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. That's the only reason we work. What do we end up doing with what we go to work for? Well, once we get that paid for, 9 times out of 10, we're looking to get out and get them toys, man. New car, new bike, snowmobile, whatever the case might be. Jet ski. We're always looking for something. How come we're not looking to stay content with what we have? Because that's what a servant of God does. He strives to be content. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Because when you don't have any money and you're striving to get the things that you need, and the Lord will always provide us with what we need, but we got to do the work. We just don't wake up one morning. It's not like the old days in the wilderness where everything we need is laying in the grass in the front yard like the manna. We got to go out there and we got to work for what we need now. We got to go out there and we got to do what we got to do. But be careful. Because when you have that money, you'll fall into temptation and the snare and the many foolish and hurtful lusts. And if you do, that's what drowns men in destruction. Destruction and destruction. Perdition just means destruction. You got a little coin in your pocket, you got to be careful. You got to do what so you don't fall into these foolish temptations? You got to watch and pray. Nothing wrong with having nice things. Brother Paul's not saying throw all your money away and take a chastity vow of being poor. I'm just saying when you got a little bit of money, you got to be careful. I had $1,700 one time that came into my pocket unexpectedly. I spent that money every which way but loose, had a nice list of everything I was going to spend it on. Come to find out I had about 6 things too many on the list. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was the most miserable 2 weeks of my life trying to spend that $1,700 and $3,500 worth of stuff. Got to strive to be content with what we have, sisters and brothers. Where you at? Continue, brother.
Verse 7.
Yes, sir.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Uh huh.
Which while some converted coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
You got money? Just be careful. Just be careful. Stay content. Stay filled with the Spirit of God. You'll be okay. Go ahead, brother.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
This flee those foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I don't care if you got $3 million in the bank. If you got those fruits of the Spirit in your heart right there, the righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, the Lord will show you how to use that money in a godly way. But you got to fill yourself with His Spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Yes, sir. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, because we are called, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians 4. And, brother, pick it up in verse 10. Philippians 4 and verse 10. Go ahead.
But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity.
So we know we need to strive to be content, but when should we strive to be content? Go ahead, brother.
Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
In whatsoever state we're in, we need to strive to be content. You got a lot of money, be content. You got no money, all your needs are met, be content. You're in a situation where you're recognizing you're going to do something, and you've got understanding that it's within the parameters of your God's conduct for you, with His standards of your conduct, but it appears you might be a stumbling block to somebody else. Don't do it and be content. Whatever state you're in, strive to be content. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 12.
Uh-huh.
I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
So he's saying that no matter what state he's in, no matter what's going on around him, he can be content in whatever state he's in. Go ahead, brother.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Because we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Go ahead, brother.
Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and ye did communicate with my affliction.
And he says, notwithstanding that I can be content in all things and everything, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, notwithstanding all that, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. So thanks for taking care of me, man. You've done well by doing that. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. I'm going to pick it up here a little bit because I don't want to be here all night. I don't have nothing else to do but sleep, but sometimes sleep is sweet, like every time I hit the pillow at night. Deuteronomy 6, and let's pick it up at verse 13, brother. 6 and 13, go ahead.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name.
Go ahead, brother.
You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth.
Yes, sir.
You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah.
You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. That's just Meribah. That's the first place where they were, the Israelites and the strange, well, I just call them what they were. They were all Israel by then. That's the first time that Israel tempted the Lord, crying and whining about, we're thirsty, we're thirsty. This isn't where Moses sealed his death sentence in the human, in the flesh. This is the first time. Go ahead, brother.
You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God.
You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Go ahead.
And his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee.
Uh-huh.
He hath commanded thee. And if thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord.
So we're going to strive to be content. This is how we resist temptation. Because we're tempted by disobedience. We're going to strive to be content. And then we're going to strive to do what is right in God's sight. What is right and good in the sight of our God. We're going to hold fast to his standards, which start with those Ten Commandments. Go ahead, brother.
That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers.
Yes, sir. You're going to do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it will be well with you. That one day you make it into that first resurrection. Let's go to Psalm, the 78th chapter. Psalm 78. Let's see what prevents us from being obedient to the Lord when we don't resist that temptation. Psalm 78. And brother, when you get there, let's pick this up at verse 35. 78 and verse 35. Go ahead.
And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer.
Uh-huh.
Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues.
One day, they're going to probably hear, according to what I can read, "Begone, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Because that's just lip service. You can't get anywhere with lip service. Faith without works is dead, sisters and brothers. Go ahead, brother.
For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant.
It's because their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. They weren't content serving the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity,
uh-huh,
and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath.
And we just read about some of them times where he did go ahead and stir up his wrath and punish them. But there were many times that the Lord turned from it, like the time I quoted earlier, where he was going to kill the entire nation and make a new nation and a better nation out of Moses. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 39.
Yes, sir.
For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again.
Praise God, this merciful God understands that we are just flesh and a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Because he knows that if he puts us down, we don't have another shot at it. He puts us down, we're done. And that's his mercy and grace. He keeps giving us opportunities to strive to be perfect in his sight. That's why when a righteous man falls, he falls seven times and he keeps getting back up. He keeps getting back up, that heart of David, the heart of King David. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert?
How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Go ahead.
Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
We tempted God. We tempted God. Satan wasn't the only one to tempt God. We did. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 42.
Yes, sir.
They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivers them from the enemy.
They forgot all about that. What is all this that we're reading about here, sisters and brothers? This is selfish and self-centeredness. This is selfishness on our parts. He gave us the standards, told us he was going to take care of us, that we would be the head and not the tail, that he was going to go ahead and provide everything we needed. And we basically spat in his face. That's because we're on team man. I know we didn't actually do it. Wasn't nobody here with Messiah. We know that. Let's go look at our Messiah, though. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews 2, because we're supposed to be Christ-like, are we not? I'm staying away from the Gospels tonight. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Not really, but don't want to spend all our time in the Gospels. Hebrews, the second chapter. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus, sisters and brothers, was tempted. We know that Satan took him in the top of the temple and everything and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And there's other ways that Satan took him out and tempted him when he was in the wilderness fasting and praying. We're not going to go there. Let's just go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Let's pick it up at verse 9, brother. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Go ahead.
Well, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus is just a created being. When it says he was made a little lower than the angels, this just means that he came and became man, because man is a little lower than the angels, because he had to be that perfect sin sacrifice. Go ahead, brother.
Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But it became him, or for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one.
He that sanctifieth, our Messiah, and they who are sanctified are all of one. Go ahead.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers.
Yes, sir.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee.
Go ahead, brother.
And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God which hath given me.
Uh-huh.
For as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
For as much that if the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So we know that he was God. We know he had the power of God. All power on heaven and earth were given unto him. When they came to get him in the garden, he said, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus. He said, I am he. And they all fell down. He had the power. He just knew that he had to suffer and die. For as much that if the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He was tempted just like we were. Go ahead, brother.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Yes, sir.
For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Became man. Go ahead.
Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
He might be a merciful and faithful high priest, because he lived in this flesh and he knows our struggles. Go ahead, brother.
For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, as he is able to succor them that are tempted.
And because he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Or you could say he's able to sanctify or set apart them that are tempted. Let's go into the fourth chapter of Hebrews and pick it up at verse 14, brother. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Go ahead.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
So our Messiah, we know he's not only our sin sacrifice or our Passover lamb, but he's now our high priest too. Go ahead, brother.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
And our Messiah was tempted in all points just like us, but he was without sin. That's why in Isaiah he calls himself the Holy One of Israel, our King and our Savior. He's the Holy One because he's the only one that ever walked in the flesh ever that was perfect without sin. Go ahead, brother. One more verse.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Now, sisters and brothers, when you're in the middle of resisting temptation, it's hard to come unto God sometimes. It's hard to throw yourself at him at his feet. But we need to get past that, sisters and brothers. Because it says, let us therefore come boldly, because he was tempted just like we are, and he knows what that feels like. We can come boldly to that throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy when we're being tempted, that we might find grace to help in the time of need. That's why the Lord said, watch and pray. Don't sleep. Watch and pray, lest you be tempted. Let's go to James, the first chapter. James 1. James 1. We're tempted by disobedience, sisters and brothers, but if we're striving to be content and to do what is right and good in the sight of God, we can endure them temptations, and we can find that way out. And make no mistake about it, we must endure. James, the first chapter, pick it up in verse 2, brother. Go ahead.
My brother, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations.
All manner of temptations. Go ahead.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Yes, sir.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing means content. But let patience, long suffering, because the trying of your faith works on your patience. Tribulation works on patience. So the trying of your faith, it works on patience, sisters and brothers. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or being content. Practicing patience will make you content. Let's go to Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans 5. And brother, when you get there, let's pick it up at verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Go ahead.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
By whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Go ahead, brother.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
We glory in tribulations. We do. I find it hard to sometimes, but I'm supposed to be. And there are times when I am. I just wrote a Facebook post not long ago about how my children were persecuted in school with homework during Tabernacles. But on this December break that they had, they just got out last Thursday all week, no homework, and for 2 weeks going to January 2nd, not a drop of homework. And I'm praising God in Jesus' name. And they understand why they were persecuted like that. So with that, I can rejoice because it's in my heart to rejoice like that. But when you're over here, and you're getting persecuted, and you got that temptation is on you, and that tribulation is supposed to be working that patience, man, that's some hard stuff, sisters and brothers. Sometimes we forget to glory and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Go ahead, brother.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed.
And patience works experience, and experience hope, and hope makes it so that you're not ashamed. Go ahead, brother.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yes, sir. All about patience, sisters and brothers, and enduring. It's about patience. It's about enduring. Let's go back to James, the first chapter. Back to James, the first chapter. James 1. You mean you couldn't just stay there, brother, and drop down a few scriptures? No, man, you got to work out in this book. James 1, and pick it up at verse 12, brother. Pick it up at 12. James 1 and 12. Go ahead.
Blessed is the man that endures temptation.
Blessed is the man that endures or resists temptation. Go ahead.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're resisting going against those commandments. And we know that what we're resisting are the things that used to be disobedient in God's eyes that we took pleasure in. And that ain't talking about setting up a tree. I've been going to Home Depot since August, seeing them pagan phallic symbols standing in the middle of Home Depot. And not once was I tempted to buy one and bring it home and set it up in my living room this December. But that's not the temptation we endure, sisters and brothers. The temptation we endure is between our ears and our heart. Go ahead, brother.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man.
And God doesn't tempt us. Go ahead.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
And that's how we're tempted. We're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. That old man, the things that used to be good to us. Go ahead, brother.
Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our own lust bring upon sin. God don't tempt nobody. And the devil didn't make me do it, Geraldine. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24, some of you are too young to remember Geraldine. The devil made me do it. What was the name? Flip Wilson, that was his name. Matthew 24, one verse, brother, verse 13. Go ahead.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Endure what? Endure temptation. He that shall endure till the end, the same shall be saved. Not going off the path to the left or the right, but staying on that straight and narrow. Let's go to Mark the 13th chapter. Mark the 13th chapter, and we have one verse here. Mark 13, one verse, brother. Verse 13, go ahead.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
If you've taken hold of that covenant and you're walking according to God's standards, not some man's or some organized religion, go ahead, brother.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Yes, sir. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And, brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Go ahead.
Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
We need to endure hardness. We need, in other words, some temptations in that when life's kicking you in the face, kicking that sand in your face where you're laying on the beach. We need to endure that hardness because what are we? We're ambassadors or soldiers of Christ. Go ahead, brother.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life.
See what that says? No man that warreth or is a soldier of Christ gets himself caught up with the affairs of this life, of this world. Go ahead, brother.
That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
And who's chosen us to be a soldier? Sisters and brothers, the Father draws us through Christ Jesus. We've been chosen by the Father. Go ahead, brother.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, brother.
The husbandman and labor that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit.
Yes, sir.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Go ahead, brother.
Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Uh-huh.
Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not abound.
Go ahead.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Sometimes, sisters and brothers, we have to endure things so we don't become a stumbling block to others, especially those that are young in the faith. Go ahead, brother.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
And like Paul was saying in Romans, when you go in that water, the old man dies right along with Jesus on the cross. And when you come up, you live under God just like he did when he was made alive. Go ahead, brother.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, you also will deny us.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him at that appointed time, he's going to deny us. In other words, that name will be removed out of that book of life. James, the fifth chapter, and we have one more place after this. James 5, and brother, pick it up at verse, and read one verse, verse 11. 5 and 11. Go ahead.
Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Have you heard of the patience of Job, and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy? Go back and read Job, sisters and brothers. The Lord took everything from Job. Not because Job was unrighteous. Not because he was really testing Job. Satan was pretty much tempting the Lord again. And the Lord said, well, go ahead, I'm going to let you go. But the Lord always told Satan how far he can go. And after the Lord made his point with Satan about Job, the Lord went ahead and blessed Job. Man, hand over fist, gave him much more than he had in the beginning. Because Job was patient. Job didn't sin. Let's have this in 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter 1. The other day we talked about how to never fall when we read this. Today we're going to talk about how to resist temptation as we're reading this. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. Brother, 1 and 5. Go ahead.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge.
Add to your faith virtue. And besides this, being partakers of the divine nature, in verse 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is moral goodness or the keeping of the law. And to virtue, knowledge, go ahead.
And to knowledge, temperance.
And temperance is moderation, go ahead.
And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness.
And to temperance, patience. And patience is, what is it, the ability to bear offenses or to bear temptation or persecution without anger or revenge. Being able to suffer affliction while staying calm, enduring without murmuring. Like Jesus said, an Israelite indeed in whose mouth there is no guile. And in our Messiah's mouth there was no guile. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 7.
Yes, sir.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And godliness is to be Christ-like. And brotherly kindness, go ahead.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
Charity is love. Go ahead, brother.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Go ahead.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
That lacketh what things? That lacketh virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. In other words, don't lack those things, but give diligence to those things to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you practice that virtue and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, that charity, you shall never fall. One more verse, brother.
Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
If you practice those things and you're diligent to make sure that your calling and election are sure, your entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, sisters and brothers, resisting temptation. We're tempted by our own disobedience, our own lusts, what used to feel good. The things that we used to do, and it's not necessarily actively going out to the club and getting into folly, just the emotions we used to run with that were in our heart. and in striving to be content and in striving to do what is right and good in God's sight, that helps us resist temptation. And we must endure until the end. And it starts with patience. And the way that we resist temptation, we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God, and we let those standards come out in our actions and in our speech. So, sisters and brothers, as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you on Sunday nights, and I hope that somebody got something from these scriptures.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Great lesson, man. Great precept. Absolutely. I just got one script to add to this. You about covered everything. I'm saying, man, you know, I was going to go to Job. Nope, got that. Going to go to Psalms. Nope, got that. Go to Matthew. Nope, you got that.
Great God, brother. Great
so
God.
I'm going to go in Paul's back pocket. I'm going to pull this one out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this, and it says, be careful, this is a warning. He said, wherefore, let him that thinketh, lest he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. See, we can trust in ourselves and start thinking we good. We straight, we doing it, we got it right. And here comes temptation, and it causes us to fall. Then he said this, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Ask Joseph. Joseph wasn't married. He was a grown man. But he escaped that married woman. He was locked up in prison. He could have screamed to the heavens, but he did what he had to do. And by his obedience, the Lord gave him a virgin daughter of Pharaoh, fleeing temptation, by fleeing wickedness. The Lord will leave a way for you to escape. To escape is the obedience of the word of God. This is how you escape. To know that you are supposed to escape. That you are supposed to flee from youthful lust. As our brother read earlier. Flee from it. And look for that door. I'm telling you, man, look. It's always a way out. I don't care. Paul been in the word long enough to know that it is. I've been in the word long enough to know what it is. Isaiah been in the word long enough to know what it is. Look, we know that there's a way out if you're looking for it. Now, you can sit up and say, well, I ain't going to take that way out. I'm going to see how far this goes. All right. But then you didn't look for a way out. You are now living in your lust. But the Lord will always leave a door open for you to escape. Because he ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to save you. And he know that the enemy is trying to get you caught up. Flee youthful lust. The Lord will leave a way for you to escape. Temptation. Okay? Amen. Amen. I love that, man. It's not from God that you should be tempted, because he don't tempt no man. He'll try you. He's not going to tempt you. And he said, lead us not into temptation. We pray for that every day. And ultimately, the hour of temptation, that we'll be put before the mark of the beast in our lives is on the line. That's temptation for you when you have to resist on the blood. You ain't gotten to that temptation yet. That's coming. great lesson, man. Great lesson. And that's, you're right. We can know all prophecies. We can have all understanding and knowledge. But without charity and love, we have nothing. Amen. I yield the mic.
Amen, 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 amen. Hey, grace and peace, family, brother Isaiah. Hey, bro, man. Hey, man. Big ups on that lesson, man. Big ups on that lesson. You know, and definitely, man, this is something that, you know, that a servant of God need daily. You know what I'm saying? Because definitely, you know, just like what Job just said, you know, I want to vouch on that too. But, you know, it's like, man, you know, that old man is always trying to come back. He always trying to come back. So we know we got to die daily. You know, and definitely, I was laughing because it was so much on the money earlier when you said that the Lord won't tip you more than what you can bear, and how you said that. Hey, sometimes it don't feel like that. Sometimes it feel like, you know, is that what I can bear? You know, I feel like that too. You know, because sometimes the lust might be a little. You know, sometimes you might be done a little too far left with that lust. But understanding that if you're serving the God, you should always find a way out of it. You know, I ain't there yet, but the Father has blessed me tremendously to do better. You know, and just to constantly keep fighting towards that mark. You know what I'm saying, for that everlasting life. But, you know, big ups on the lesson, man. You know, and it was very necessary, and it was right on time. I get a mic.
Okay, anybody else? Any other questions or any questions or any other comments?
Well, brother, it looks like you got that covered.
Praise God.
Man, listen. Any closing comments?
Sisters and brothers, the only thing I got to add to this is like our Messiah told us. Because as a teacher, it's like being a watchman. I'm supposed to warn you from him. He said that, watch and pray lest you be tempted. So we just got to be vigilant. We got to be sober. We got to always watch what's going on around us. Watch what's in our heart. Lead and guard that heart and watch and pray constantly. And in doing that, coupled with our obedience, we'll be able to resist that temptation. And that being said, I'm going to go ahead and yield the mic. Grace and peace, everyone, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. Great precept, brother. Great lesson.
Amen.
Once again, you can catch our brother Paul Mazaluski at every Sunday night here at the Sounds of Living Waters at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Fellowship of the Spirit, little people, food for thought, guard your heart, food for thought, guard your heart. That's where the temptations start, in between the ears, guard your heart. You see, be careful, guard your heart, all right? So with that being said, you want to be back here Tuesday night with the Philadelphia Assembly, with Brother Bob Furr, and we're going to go from there. So we don't have his precept for Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m., but remember, at the Sounds of Living Water, Tuesday night to Saturday night, Tuesday night to Sunday night at 7 o'clock p.m., if you got a need for the Word of God, turn this on. If you got a need for the Word of God, click that window that you see right there and just let the Spirit fill you, man, and deliver you from whatever you're going through, whatever anguish you're going through, and watch the Lord work and show you something different about yourself. Gotta love this good stuff. This is the good stuff. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read the
Bible. Yeah. Read the Bible, people.
I love y'all, family.
Shalom.
Here comes
Great
my
favorite
Christian song.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.